This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. Let's do this thing. Glad you're with us. 888-957-9570. It is Warriors opening night. Monty Poole's going to join us a little bit later. It's also Wednesday, which means round three, ding, 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 between Dan Dibley and Greg Cosell. Less than an hour away. And when these two combatants get together, I've got round one for Greg, round two for Dibs. We go to round three, which could be decisive.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. We have many more rounds to go, but God, so much to ask Greg about with the Chiefs, but also to ask him about the Cowboys and what Dallas does, because Dallas is a fascinating team. They are not very good, yet they have three wins, and they can be troubling to some, and what Detroit did to them, I wonder if that stink that Dallas put out there has a lasting effect coming off the bye.
I would think so. I mean, it led to, you know, it led to Jerry Jones getting mad at radio people, and there's just all kinds of stuff that's been going on with Dallas. They have been absolutely dreadful at home, but sure, if you like to look at it that way, they're 3-0 on the road, and guess where this game is? It's on the road, so.
And what are the Niners, 1-2 at home?
Is that correct?
Levi's?
They beat the Jets,
yep.
And then they lost to the Cardinals.
Arizona, and then they lost to the Chiefs.
Lost to the Chiefs,
yeah.
Sure.
Yikes.
Sure. Oh, the Chiefs, the new home of DeAndre Hopkins.
They beat the Patriots, too. You're 2-2 at
home. 2-2, thank you.
Oh, 2-2.
Take them off your list. Your quaint little list of four receivers the Niners should go after. We're now down to three.
Why'd you have to call it quaint? Why'd you have to rip it like that?
I didn't rip it.
No, you did. It was dismissive.
It was tidy, it was adorable.
It was condescending.
It was.
For sure.
Because I don't think that they're going to get any of them. So
why not?
Because they don't need a receiver. And you think they need a receiver? I don't think that they think they need a receiver. That's why I don't think that they're going to get a receiver.
You're caught that Debo and Juwan and George are all not practicing today, that Brandon Ayuk is out for the year. You're caught all that, right?
Right.
Okay.
So Debo got released from the hospital yesterday, so he's not just going to rush out and practice as his lungs get fluid free.
But I did read yesterday already that there's already reports that Juwan, quote, could miss this game, and that Debo, the word is, has a chance to play in this game. I think George will be fine. But yeah, like, I think there's a really good shot that receiver one this weekend is Ricky Pearsall, for God's sakes.
Right, but you also realize that any trade would would be a longer-term deal.
Yes, for the rest of the year.
You know, Juwan off the bye probably will play. Debo off the bye will probably play.
Yeah, I would think so.
And you're a team that only plays two receivers most of the time anyway,
Would love another one. Like Emmanuel Sanders all over again is the way I see it. I would love for them to get Deontay Johnson, but I got a different question for you to start this show off. And 888-957-9570 is the number. I think this is the way I want to ask it. Why doesn't Kyle Shanahan get more slack? Why doesn't Kyle Shanahan get more slack? If I acknowledge that this year sucks so far, if I acknowledge that, and I acknowledge that he's not Andy Reid, I'll give you that one too. And I'll acknowledge that somewhere someone called him a genius to you one time in a dream, and it bothers you. If I acknowledge that, if I acknowledge that the red zone efficiency is down, and damn it, it shouldn't be. If I acknowledge all of that, can I not still make the point that Kyle Shanahan deserves a little bit more patience?
You could make that point.
Than I feel he's getting.
Right, and I do think that the majority of fans are with you, and I think that it's okay. A small portion of the fan base that is either fire Kyle, or Kyle's a choker, or Kyle stinks. I think that that is less than a fourth. It might be less than a fifth. I think that that's a small sliver of the pie. And those people, and you can call us and speak for yourself at 888-957-9570, I would bet that the majority of those people will talk about arrogance, perceived arrogance, because arrogance is only something that you can perceive.
I guess.
However you feel about your own arrogance and my own arrogance, people would either perceive that as greater than I think or lesser than I think. Arrogance is something that's perceived. Nebulous, intangible thing.
That's fair. What if I told you that they're like, because I don't know Kyle. Do you know Kyle?
No, never talked to him.
Okay. I've talked to him over the
years. Never in person, yeah.
Yeah, like I've talked to him, but I don't claim to know him.
No.
I would, thank you. I would say that I know at least a couple people with the 49ers that would describe it this way. Yeah, he's a little arrogant.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, and I would come back and say, in that job, you have to be arrogant. So you're asking a guy to command a room with 53, 46, 90, whatever the number is when he has to command it. He has to step into a room of absolute alpha males.
Yes.
Like ferocious human beings who have been successful at every level.
Yes.
He's got to step into that fray. And he has to command it. So you can't, hey guys, how you doing? Kyle. And I'm just happy to be here.
Well, I mean,
the rest of it. So arrogance comes with the job.
There's a number
of ways. That's my point.
I think it's a very good point. I mean, it's funny to me. Oh, he's arrogant. We should hire Belichick. Squeeze me?
Right.
That's not arrogant. And I know what people, well, you get to be arrogant and smug. Like that Steve Kerr guy.
Sure. When you win.
When you win a ring.
Yes.
Or two or three or four or whatever. Okay. All right. That's fine. That's fair. It's not like there isn't more than one way to eat a Reese's, though. Tony Dungy won a Super Bowl as a head coach. Not arrogant. Like, won't even swear.
Well, I mean, I don't know how arrogant he is.
I don't know him either.
Right.
I don't know
Andy
him either.
Andy Reid's a great example, too. Because we look at Andy.
He's Santa Claus.
He seems like Wilford Brimley. Right. Rest in peace. Just like the aw shucks, mustachioed, heavy set walrus, cuckoo ca-choo. Like, is Andy not arrogant because we don't see him out there like Sean McVay? We all think he's arrogant because he's like tight shirts and I'm going to run to the end zone and I'm going to high five you and I'm the man.
Well, he's got frosted tips and he runs on it. Grandy, do you know who Wilford Brimley is when Dibbs says
no
that?
Chance.
Do you know who that is?
Like the big mustache?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Quaker Oats guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recognize him.
He is an old. Good. That scares me when you do that.
Well, he's not a fair barometer because he's 28 going on 60.
I don't care if he's a fair barometer. He's a barometer.
That's fair.
And
yeah.
I'll take it. I'll take it. We could get Ken in here. He's 112 years old, except for he's the same age as Grandy. Maybe a little older.
Yeah.
But whatever. Anyway, I just wanted a quick aside on that.
I just think the idea of arrogance, and people think that Kyle is arrogant, and, you know, your unsourced reporting from people who know him say, yeah, he's arrogant. They're all arrogant. You have to be arrogant. So if that's not it, I do think that part of it is the perception of the word you used earlier, genius. He never called himself a genius, but we all look at him with that laminated play sheet and this great offense that now a lot of teams run, yep, and the Shanahan way and what his dad did. And we all look at that and we think, well, you should be amazing. And when you're not, that's when people are like, dude, what's going on here?
We're just reading some things right now here on the Comcast business text line that, Dibs, you might find interesting.
Okay. I find everything interesting.
Well, like, I wonder. I think you're right, although I think your numbers might be a little off when you say...
Well, numbers are numbers.
Well, numbers are numbers, but I'd like to give you my numbers. I actually don't have any numbers right now.
I have numbers.
I know you do, and they're good numbers, and we'll get to those. But when you say only a tiny bit of the fan base feels this way, you sort of package that as the wanting him fired crew. I get that, but there's another crew that I'm talking to, and I actually think it might be the majority, which is not the I want him fired crew. The I want him fired crew, you're on the fringe. And it's okay if you are, but I hope y'all know that. You're on the fringe. You're over here. You swung the pendulum all the way over here. Maybe I'm over on the other end. Kyle, I'd love to take him to dinner.
Can I live at your house?
Yeah, so fine. If guilty, whatever. I think he's great, but fine. If you want to make me, but the middle, I think the pack is short on patience for Kyle Shanahan. I think there's a lot of frustration that's directed toward him. And by the way, again, I want to go back to the start because, for example, Jimmy Jack here. Let's see. Oh, Willard, you always have some excuse for the Niners, and you pat them on the head, and you're so damn soft, and he's making millions of dollars. Whoops, you just told on yourself. You're jealous about money. That's fine. I'm not patting anyone on the head. Let's go back to the beginning. What did I say? Okay, he's not Andy. Okay, he's sucked this year. Okay. His side of the ball is the bigger problem, at least today. 3 weeks ago, it was the other side. Well. But fine, his side of the ball has had some high-profile 0-point second half Arizona, Kansas City game. Sure, like we can do all of that, and I will acknowledge the availability and acceptability of your current frustration with Kyle Shanahan. My question is not, should you be mad this year? My question is, why don't you have more patience for somebody who has clearly been really good and, oh, by the way, has been in this position multiple times before and he's gotten you out of it every time?
Yeah.
That's my question.
Well, maybe the patience is wearing thin when he's been here now 8 years. This is year eight, and you've won zero Super Bowls, and you've been to a couple, and you've been close, and you've blown leads. And you go back to Atlanta when he was the offensive coordinator, and I'm not going back to Atlanta because I don't go back to Atlanta, but many fans go back to Atlanta, and you were up 28-3. And in fact, when he got the ball back, it was 28-9, and he was the coordinator, so we can play with that all we want, but they blew a 28-3 lead in Atlanta, and he's come here, and he's blown 20 leads in the fourth quarter, and you had two leads in the Super Bowl, and you couldn't close it out, and Andy Reid owns you, and now you're 3-4 again, and you got Trey Lance hurt, and all the rest of the things you want to, like, throw logs on the fire, and I'm only doing this to represent the people, because we don't have enough phone lines for everyone to call in, but I do think that's a lot of it. He's arrogant, he's a choker, and he can't close.
Do you believe those three things?
I think he's arrogant.
Okay, do you believe he's a choker?
I don't know what a choker is as a coach, because if Jimmy G hits Emmanuel Sanders on that play, Jimmy G overthrew him. Is that Kyle's fault? Seemed like he schemed up a play that was going to work. Well, and last year in the Super Bowl, if the blocker goes the right way and blocks the right guy, and Ayuk is open, So I don't think that he's a choker.
Or this year.
The idea of him not being able to close is something I would like to examine.
Okay. Okay.
Because they have, and I don't know what the total.
You don't want to put that this year on the players? Ronnie Bell, catch the ball. Jordan Mason, don't drop it.
Sure, but I also.
5-2.
I also look at a special teams unit that is second to last in football in DVOA.
All right. People want to weigh in. Why doesn't he get more slack? I'm not arguing you shouldn't be mad. Just why doesn't he get a little more room with the 4 out of 5 years NFC title game? That's all I'm asking. Just why doesn't he get a little more room? I'd argue more patience is warranted. 888-957-9570. Your call's next. Greg Cosell and Dibs fight in the town square in a little over a half hour. This is Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Could you sing with that voice?
Literally, I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was toxic.
What I'm telling you, I'm telling you something.
Why sing?
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
Do it. Do the numbers. What's the thingamabob after Halloween?
Numbers are numbers. Well, unless they're your numbers. I'm going to adopt these. Your numbers.
I'll adopt them. How about that? Can they be my numbers?
They can be your numbers.
I'll get on one knee and ask the numbers.
You don't have to. You've spent enough time on one knee over the past 4 days. I think we're good, okay?
Will you be my numbers?
Totally. I love you, numbers. Kyle is 39-22 after Halloween in his 8-year career. Well, so 7 years he's had post Halloween football. He's 39-22. And if you look at the last 3 years where they've been good, he's 23-5.
Ooh!
And that's not counting playoffs now.
That's a hell of a record.
This is regular season. Mm-hmm. And you even look back to his first year, they were 6-10. 6-2 after Halloween. The next year, they were 4-12. 3 of those wins came after Halloween. The next year, 13-3. 5-3 after Halloween. The next year, they were 6-10. Not good. Still had 2 wins after Halloween. And then the last 3 years, as mentioned, 7-3, 9-0, 7-2.
Damn.
23-5 the last 3 years in the regular year, and one of those losses was the we don't give a crap
the Rams
game
last year. Yeah,
so
23-4.
Yes, I'm kind of with the callers, and I can't wait to go to the phones. And we're talking about arrogance and not being a closer and all the rest of it, not being a real CEO of the team. But when you look after Halloween, he's been pretty damn amazing.
Well, and again, I really wanted to. Gosh, I'm working hard over here, people, to not sound like I'm telling you to not be mad this year. Let me drive that home.
Right between the eyes.
Right between the eyes.
That's my favorite.
You can totally hate this year. I just want to know why you don't have more patience for Kyle.
Oh, grace.
Is what
we say in the church.
Like, it's not like, and I know no one, oh, here come the excuses. It's not like you can't look at the team and go, you know what I mean? It's not like you're sitting here going, I wonder what's wrong. You can see it. Christian, Brandon, Debo, George, Juwan, you can see that at minimum challenges that you hoped were not there are there.
On Sunday.
Are you supposed to? Well, Christian the whole time, and that's a big deal.
Fine.
Are you supposed to? Does that mean that you can't be good anymore? No. You get to be mad. You absolutely get to be mad and critical and all of those things. But why not more patience? Now, I think this is a really interesting text. This is someone who wants to sit here and think and have a conversation. And I love this. So 262, thank you for texting in. Comcast Business Text Line. Mark, usually when people lack patience with an accomplished individual, it's because they don't like what the trajectory looks like. Where does Kyle go from here with everyone figuring out his style and him seemingly not able to adjust? I think that's a great question. Are you worried about the trajectory and lack of adjustments? What would you say to that?
Yes.
You are.
I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm completely racked with worry to where I don't want to leave the house, but what I've seen is teams adjusting. And the adjustment is, dude, just play man. Play man. Their offensive line's not very good, so we don't necessarily have to blitz to get home. And Brock Purdy has receivers who can't get separation, and we know that Brock is going to go ahead and throw it anyway.
Right.
So let's play press man and dare these guys to get open. That, well, to me, is worrisome.
I guess if we're looking at the trajectory of when this has happened before, and each of them have happened for different reasons, Trey Lance, Jimmy, Brock Purdy, whatever, but the 3-4s and the 3-5s and those seasons, I'd argue that when you do get to midseason and there's usually a bye week in there somewhere, I think he's been phenomenal at adjusting. I mean, hell, y'all didn't know Debo was a running back until suddenly he did it. And it was literally the reason the Niners rallied that year and made the NFC title game. Debo almost won the damn NFC on his back. That was an adjustment. Like, I don't think Kyle is sitting there right now like with a piece of straw in his teeth. We're fine. You're all dumb. And I know what I'm doing. And we're actually, I don't think he's doing that. I think that they're on the phones for trades. I think that they are staring at tape and they want to make those adjustments too. I think that, and I think that that's what they will try to grind out this weekend. We'll see who they've got and be 4-4 and take 2 weeks and see what they need to adjust. That's what they've done in the past.
It is, but this is, I think, a tougher task for a number of reasons.
Agreed.
One,
yeah,
is you don't have your best receiver or your second best. You don't have your star running back. Hopefully he comes back. And your quarterback is facing his real first adversity. And the bigger piece for me, your schedule after the break, after
tougher.
The bye, gets a lot tougher. And you only have one game after the bye where you have a rest advantage over your team. And I know that I drive this home probably too much about rest advantage versus disadvantage. But again, on Sunday, the Cowboys have 7 more days of rest than you do. And when you come out, Seattle has, they're coming off their bye. They have a rest advantage. And all these games, other than one, you have a real rest disadvantage.
All right, let's hear from you. Why doesn't Kyle get maybe just a little more patience? Dibs used the word grace. 888-957-9570. Carlito, Alameda. Hi, Carlito. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Yeah, I'm a longtime 49er fan, and I like Kyle. I like Kyle Shanahan, but I am now open to the conversation of moving off of Kyle Shanahan, and I think the biggest reason is I think 0-5 against the Chiefs is enough of an indictment against him. Laura Britt asked Fred Warner the other day, is this even considered a rivalry because you guys lose all the time? I thought that was a little harsh at first, but now I think it's kind of fair. And I think a new coach that would come in would just have new vibes against that team. And that's the main reason. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that's Carlito, thanks. It's interesting. Here's what I would caution against is the idea of structuring your whole outfit to beat an AFC team that odds are you won't even see for another 2 years. That's just the fact. I know we're obsessed with them, and I know why. But I think that most coaches structure their world over how do we win our division, and if things break a certain way, then how do we win our conference? If the Niners get overly obsessed with the Chiefs, I think it's a mistake. Because right now, I got $5 as they don't see him until 2026. That's my bet.
Odds are?
Odds are.
Yeah, and
big
I don't...
time. I'll bet more than $5. We'll go 10.
Yeah.
$10.
Well, and the odds are probably 20-1 that they actually face each other. The Niners are no longer the favorites to win the NFC.
Yep.
And the Chiefs are still favored to win the AFC. They're favored to still win the Super Bowl, but that's going to take them winning 2 games just to get to the bowl and 3 to win the bowl. And right now, the Niners, if things go in this direction, even if they win the division, they're going to be the 4 seed, which means they host the top wild card. And that'll be a tough game. And then you'd have to go to the 1 seed, Detroit, Minnesota, etc. If they win the NFC West at 9-8 or 10-7, you're probably going to be the lowest of the division winners.
Maybe. Remember, the NFC South is also being led at 4-3, just like the NFC West.
Right.
So that's only a game ahead of the 49ers
it
as we sit right now.
If you beat that South team and you do play Tampa Bay, who might win the South.
They might win the South. They're tied with Atlanta right now. Sure.
But if it was Tampa and you beat Tampa, then you could be the 3 seed, and that makes it a little bit more comfortable as far as you know, taking on the 6 seed, whatever. The road is not great if you wind up as the lowest of the division winners.
Right, but there's a long way to go. Like I'll grant you that the 1 seed right now feels pretty damn unlikely because of Minnesota. I also don't know where their season's going to go. I personally think Detroit is better than Minnesota. I think Detroit's going to win that division. You play Detroit later on this year. Like, a long way to go. I get the math, but I wouldn't give up on 3 seed, even 2 seed. You know what I mean? Was Washington just going to win all their games? Maybe. I don't know. Their quarterback's hurt. I don't know where that's going to go.
Yeah, so. Honestly, I'm more concerned about even being the 7 seed, which starts on Sunday in a conference game where right now your conference tiebreakers, they stink.
Not good. Not good.
Worse than my picks.
888-957-9570. Why doesn't Kyle Shanahan, after all of the success, the frustrations granted, but why not a little more patience? Why not a little more faith? A little more chill? Mike in Santa Rosa. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, man.
Hey. Well,
been a fan for a long time. But, I think Kyle deserves a little bit of confidence because it's been pretty nice the last few years. Gone through a lot of years through the drought. But every year in a championship game, that's pretty good. So I appreciate him. But this year's a struggle. But this is the way football is. It's an emotional game.
What's frustrating you the most about this year, Mike?
The running game. I mean, I think it's been said before, the passing game to the running backs, the short passing game, is not there. It looks like Brock's trying to force the ball downfield a lot. And that appears to me, I haven't watched a lot, but that's what I see. And Brock is like trying to wait to do way too much.
Mike, thanks. Appreciate it. I do think that's something that is worthy of keeping an eye on a little bit. The whole idea of Brock trying to do too much, like, that's the other thing that I acknowledge. And again, boy, if you sound like you're making excuses for anybody in 2024,
right?
It makes people really, really mad. Unless, of course, you're talking about yourself. Like, that's one fun thing I love to point out. Like, we all have excuses for ourselves. We have excuses for our kids. We can explain away anything. But if it's someone else, then damn it. I don't care that all your offensive players are hurt. Damn it, score points against the best team in the league now. I like
that for me is a little bit short-sighted because
I'm exaggerating.
I mean, yes.
I'm exaggerating.
And, you know, you were saying before about how they very well could be 5-1 going into that Kansas City game.
Yes.
So for me, the Kansas City game where you didn't have Debo really and Ayuk got hurt at halftime and you know, you had a really injured bunch of skill guys. That one I'm willing to look at and go, okay, injuries. But the Arizona game, the Ram game.
Ram game was the same thing.
But you had the lead. You had a 10-point
yes.
lead.
Well,
so,
no, but
and football,
of course.
You deal with injuries
that's a way,
in football.
It's a way worse team. Of course you do.
Right.
Of course you do.
And
I
you're,
guess
you're 3-4, and it's not just because of injuries.
No, although Mike Holmgren thinks it is. It's exactly what he said to us.
And
is,
when
is
was
not?
That? That was like
no, a couple
3 weeks
ago.
Ago?
When
yep.
was it? Here, it's right here. September 26th, Mike Holmgren.
It's all injuries, guys. You know the 49ers better than anybody. And I watch them and admire them and has had a chance to talk to Kyle on occasion. They're hurt. I mean, they're key guys, really good players. Have been injured, and so they've lost a couple tough ones. Once they get their team together, they're who they are. They'll be in the playoffs, and then you need a little luck and all that kind of stuff to get all the way to the Super Bowl. But right now, that's what's happened. And I don't care who you are, when you get key people hurt, you know it changes things. And if you're playing a good opponent that week, they can beat you.
Yeah, and that, look, that's 3 games ago that Mike yep. said that
after the Ram game.
Yeah, so understand that. I largely agree, though, with where he went next. Not just like if you don't want to acknowledge the first part of what he said, which is it's all injuries. Like when he says, look, there'll be a different point in the season where their roster is different and they will be who they are. And I still think they're going to the playoffs. I agree with that. Now, maybe that's because I'm giving Kyle too much faith and patience. I don't know. But, like, I would certainly bet if you had a coin right now, you were just talking about the 4 seed or the 7 seed.
Yeah.
But I just asked you, like, you got to bet on the Niners either making the playoffs or not. What are you betting on?
I'm betting them making the playoffs.
Me too.
Now, if you were to bet, will they win the division or be a wild card? I don't think that they have a chance to be a wild card. I think that their best chance is to win the West. And if you're going to be the wild card, you're probably going to need to be at least 10-7, I would imagine, because you've got
10-7 should do it, I would think. Well, I mean, I get that the whole NFC North is well over 500.
Right. I think
they
got to
start playing each other though.
Two teams from the North, and then
might be three.
Right. Well, I mean, two outside of the
oh,
division
got it.
Winner.
So you think,
two
you
wild
think
cards
two of the wild
from the
cards.
North.
Okay. All right.
And then the third wild card is going to be
a wild card.
A 10-7 team, and so if you're 10-7 and you lose to Dallas, who's 10-7, or you lose to Tampa, who's 10-7, or you lose to, heck, Seattle, who's 10-7, although that probably would be a split. The tiebreakers don't really favor you right now if you fall into a tie with these other teams.
Yeah, no, that's all fair. And there's no doubt that they have a better chance in some ways to win the division than they do a wild
yep.
card. But, man, there's a long way to go.
Yep.
I watch, like, for instance, you know, the patience that Mike Holmgren talks about there with Kyle and the Niners, I would suddenly, I think it's easier to do when our emotions aren't involved, right? So, like, let's look at some other teams. Do you give Tampa Bay, right now sitting tied for first place in their division, do you give them a little room over the next 3 to 4 weeks to not look as good as they have looked up until now, particularly on offense?
You can give them room, but the reality is if they go out over the next 4 games and they lose all 4, it doesn't matter what you give them because you'll be 4-7 and your season's over.
No, I understand that. I understand
right.
that. I'm just talking about what you expect it to look like. Sometimes I feel like the Niners have set such a bar that, and we saw them with relative health last year, really have an epic offense. Like, that was an epic season of offense with long winning streaks and all of that stuff. And so we expect them to look like that, and then they lose key pieces, but we still expect them to look like that because we're stubborn like that. Like, no, they should still look like that. And then they lose 2 pieces, and then they lose 3 pieces, and then they lose 4 pieces. And we're like, nope, I'm sorry. You still have to look like that. Like, I don't think it works that way.
Well,
Tampa
it does
Bay is
when,
not
you, when you get a running back who's the second leading rusher in football.
Yeah, but why is he the second leading rusher in football?
because he's better than you thought, and your running game, your offensive line, when it comes to run blocking, is better than they are pass blocking.
I mean, Jordan's not, like, if Brock Purdy, if we're going to have a national debate for 3 years over whether or not Brock's a product of the system, are we allowed to do that with Jordan Mason?
Of course.
Who is a running back
for
someone named Shanahan, who has literally made two careers out of whatever running back's back there is going to do well.
And that's my point. So you lose your running back, and he doesn't play at all through seven games, and yet you don't miss really a beat in the ground game because of the Shanahan system. So,
But I think you do in the red zone. For sure you do on the ground game, and your playbook is totally different and all of that.
Well, he's choosing for the playbook to be different.
No.
And we can look at all the red zone plays they've run, and you could scratch your head at the way he's approaching the red zone, and that's the play calling to
me. How do you mean he's choosing? Like every Niner, George Kittle started with this when he was like, there's so many things that we can't even try to do when Christian's not in there.
Right.
There's the playbook
you
just
try it, but you choose not to.
Right. I mean,
you choose not to throw the ball to Jordan Mason in the red zone.
You're supposed to put your players in the best position to succeed.
Right.
So you're supposed
and if they
to,
don't succeed, then whose fault is it? It's and it's the coach.
Again, like, I totally grant that the frustration of this year and the fact that, like, it'd be fun to see if you could have some faith in some of the younger guys, try some new things, get more creative. I think all those criticisms or questions are totally fair. I wonder why there seems to be a give up at this side type of a sound to where we've arrived at this point, which is a point we've arrived at before, and he's had so much success with it already in the past. So, like, why wouldn't we in this moment sort of all guess that, like, what happens next is more likely than not, the next thing that happens is going to be better, right?
It could be, and it has been, but it doesn't mean that it will be, and that's all dependent on a lot of different factors. And my whole thing is, when you look at Kyle Shanahan, he's had lesser teams than what they currently have healthy, and he's been able to do it. So go out there and do it again. You've got a limping Dallas team coming in, and then you have a bye. And then you go to a Tampa Bay team that just lost its top two wide receivers, and neither of them will play. So go out there and show me. Start stacking wins,
sure.
Kyle.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, Dylan in Santa Clara. Hi, Dylan. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Dillard and Wibbs. Hope y'all doing all right.
Hello, Dylan.
I just want to say, sports fans are so funny, man. They're so bipolar, so emotional. One week we're on top of the world. Next week we're down in the dumps calling for our coach who's been to, what, 5 NFC championships and 2 Super Bowls to get fired. I don't get it. I people started telling me that we need to fire Kyle Shanahan after the Super Bowl loss, and I'm like, We're one play away from winning a Super Bowl. So I have all the patience in the world. Even if we miss the playoffs this year, do not repeat history and get rid of them like we did with Harbaugh. Because look what that did for us for, what, 5, 6 years? We were bottom of the league. We were a poverty team, roster, franchise all around. We just got to have faith in our coach. Maybe they missed the playoffs this year. Our team is decimated with injuries. It happened. It happened in 2021 2018 and 2019, and we got Nick Bosa out of it. So maybe we'll get a good draft pick, bolster that roster, defensive line a little bit, and regroup for next year, even if we miss the playoffs. But I think we are still going to make the playoffs because I trust Kyle Shanahan. We're going to get some guys back like Greenlaw and CMC, and we're going to get this thing rolling. Thanks, guys.
Dylan, thanks. Appreciate it. You know, he said a lot there, but it's funny that he brought up the Harbaugh name. And what do you think of the job he's doing so far?
I think he's doing pretty well.
You
I
do?
You're trying to completely rebuild the culture.
Yeah.
So you let all your receivers go, and you keep your quarterback, and you bring in a running back, and you try to just build this thing like you used to build it, and it takes time. I think Harbaugh gets at least a year to try to rebuild the culture there, and you know, he's trying to win games 12-11. It's just what Harbaugh does.
I know. It's just, does that work anymore? Do you know how many teams in the NFL have scored fewer points than the Los Angeles Chargers?
Yeah, probably not many.
Three.
I see.
The Dolphins with no Tua.
Boy.
the New England Patriots,
my God,
and the New York Giants.
Yep.
That's the list. That's who's scored fewer points than Harbaugh so far this year.
It's six games.
Not Harbaugh.
He's a game shy.
Anything but Harbaugh.
He's a game shy of the rest. But
yeah, it's true. That's fair.
And
that's
they are plus 23, so... want to talk about how many teams have given up fewer points than the Chargers?
No, you got a good defense.
And the answer is zero.
Yeah. All right. Presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Greg Cosell is 20 minutes away. We continue with your phone calls next, 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.